Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is a weekly program sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is a full-service precious metals broker-dealer located in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is committed to honesty and integrity in every transaction. Now here's the host of True Wealth, Kevin Wolter.
Hello again and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Wolter, the host of True Wealth. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is a full-service, high-volume, low-margin, rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service specializing in the purchase and sale of all forms of precious metals, rare coins, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, and offering one of the highest-rated privately held depository services, at least in the Northwest United States. Coins Plus has been in business since about 1996 and has come to be respected as being one of the higher integrity rare coin and precious metals dealers in the U.S. We've heard of numerous occasions where customers have inquired about us in Hawaii or Pennsylvania or Florida or Texas or anywhere, and we've been amazed and pleased a lot of times to hear the raving reviews that other dealers will give about us. Of course, that's outside of our area. The locals aren't overly appreciative of us because I think we're pretty tough competition, to put it lightly. I don't even a lot of times consider us competition. I feel like we're in a whole different industry. There's a lot of different philosophies out there, and there's sort of the old school pawn shop mentality of, just kind of buying as low as you can and selling as high as you can with no regard for integrity or reputation. And then, you know, as you go across the nation, there's, you know, commission salespeople out there trying to sell you everything under the sun. People telling you to just about anything you need to hear to get you to ship your money halfway across the country. Tremendous amounts of money. I mean, when you really think about it, folks, the kind of money that, you know, is involved when you get into rare coins and precious metals, I mean, you can, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and up. And there's, you know, I've seen plenty of people ship a lot of money across the country for various reasons, and I've seen a lot of people go through unbelievable experiences, and I mean literally unbelievable. They hang their word, they'll hang on a verbal promise. We had a guy call here recently asking some questions about how long it should take to get something, and we answered him, and I asked him why he was calling, and he had shipped a substantial amount of money, and I mean substantial amount of money, to a company, and I asked who they were, and he told me, and I was like, I hadn't heard of them. And he, you know, proceeded to tell me that he ran into them, you know, through some newspaper thing somewhere. And I mean, folks, wow. I mean, it probably some guy operating out of his garage in his backyard. Not only did the guy, get taken on what he chose, what he got talked into, but he still hadn't received the product, and it'd been way too long. And I've also, you know, I love Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. And, you know, you get people that are, I don't know if it's an intelligence thing or what it is, but they just get something stuck in their head. And I think that's the whole point of Proverbs, is there's a certain type of person that won't even take the time to listen to somebody else. And I don't understand that personality well. I'm the kind of guy, I tend to just grill people with questions. I want to know everything they have to know, and then I'll make my own decision. But I've dealt with people, I've had employees, in the past where I've said, no, tell me your opinion. And it's like pulling teeth to get it out of them. I had one in particular who never wanted to tell me his opinion. And then I finally got him to start telling me his opinion. And then I'd say, okay, thanks. And he'd say, well, you're going to do what I said, aren't you? And I'm like, well, I'm going to, I'll consider it. And he would start to get angry that I wasn't doing what he asked or what he told me to do, what his suggestion was. And it was really interesting that he did naturally withhold his opinion, but he just didn't understand the process of listening to other people's opinion with an open mind and then processing the information and making the right decision based on, you know, technically, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit, you can call it your gut, you can call it whatever you want. As one saying goes, invest in haste and repent in leisure. I've seen a person, you know, get a fair amount of money and just freak. And all of a sudden, it's like they got to do it now. There's no time to think, no time to wait, no time to wait for somebody to get them a better deal, you know, got to have it now. And that is absolutely, completely contrary to the Holy Spirit. When people, I had a guy I knew one time that was getting into a very bad marriage, and everyone around him knew it. And I was trying to talk to him, and he's one of these guys, you know, he didn't want to talk about it much. And I said, what's God telling? I said, you need to pray about it. He goes, I am. And I said, what's God telling you? And he says, he actually said to me, I feel like God's telling me it's do or die. And of course, his marriage was unbelievably miserable, and it was cursed pretty much in every way imaginable. And, you know, the right decision from the Holy Spirit never comes like that. You know, when people feel like they're just under this uncomfortable pressure and they got to hurry, that is not, I'm talking about angst. I'm not talking about spiritual urgency where, you know, when you're compelled by God, you just feel right. I mean, I've had situations where I've had to make incredibly difficult decisions, and a few were very personal decisions, and it's like, it was the kind of thing on my own I would never have done. In fact, I even maybe resisted God in a couple cases quite a while. And finally, you know, when the Holy Spirit wells up so strong, you're 100% confident. There's no doubt, and it's literally almost like walking on air to go do whatever it is that he's driving you to do, because it's that spiritual urgency. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about avoiding, you know, spiritual decision making does not come with just complete angst and terror. When God comes to you and speaks to you, no matter what it is, there's a sense of peace. And, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, patience, etc. But it's also, as the Bible says, if you turn everything over to God, he will give you a peace that passes all understanding. Obviously, we all struggle with that. I feel that my faith is amazing, but the trust aspect is where I falter. There's times we all want to take it back and put it in our own hands. But, you know, the bottom line is money is a tangible track record of the heart condition. And in all my years in banking, I got to this mantra where I would say, if you want to know a man's character or integrity, give him a little bit of money. What I really meant by that, I didn't mean really a little bit of money, but a little bit more than he's ever had before, a little bit more than he's used to handling, etc. And you'll see every good thing or bad thing manifest out of people. You'll see greed, corruption, power. You'll see all kinds of things in people's behavior, and everybody's got a different price level. And I'm not saying everybody breaks under those circumstances at all, but I'm saying that God made money for a reason. It absolutely signifies who we are. We helped out a single mother here a little bit ago with, you know, a financial situation, and I mean, her level of gratitude was so astounding. We gave her money, you know, no strings attached. And just out of appreciation, she sent us an email, and she broke down and accounted for every single penny she'd spent out of that to show her level of responsibility. And we didn't know that she was behind on her mortgage, and she was able to make a mortgage payment with it and, you know, do repairs on her home and pay for her kids' sporting events and pay utilities and put food on the table. We didn't know that. But the absolute spirit that she showed with that extra money was just crazy. It was so awesome. And I've seen people in banking in all my years in finance stuff. I've seen people that are behind on debt. I had an employee one time that was struggling financially, but they had too much nice stuff and payments on it, and they were considerably behind, and I gave them a Christmas bonus to help them catch up, and he came to me a couple days later and wanted to talk about buying his wife a big diamond for Christmas. And I'm like, well, I thought you had, and I asked how much he had to spend, and he basically told me he had 80% of the dollar amount I'd just given him as a bonus. And I said, well, wait a minute, I thought all that money was to catch up your car payments and all that. And he said, well, after we got the money, my wife negotiated with the car company to let us just make one payment and keep and stay behind on the debt so we have extra money. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're behind on bills. Just because you can negotiate to stay behind doesn't mean you want to. But it was just the concept that his wife immediately saw that extra money. She wanted, you know, to spend it on herself rather than pleasing prior obligations that they'd already made. God made money and gave it to us for a reason. The Bible says that man cannot look upon the heart of man, but we only look on the outward appearance. God sees the heart. But we can judge ourselves by how we spend our money. And I'm not telling you, I understand you're going to make mistakes and you're going to look and go, man, that wasn't the best move I could have made. But it's a good way to track yourself. It's a good measure of where your heart is. You know, the Bible tells us that very clearly. For where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And so obviously he knows that our heart follows our money. And it's kind of interesting because psychologists have shown that by changing your actions, you can change your heart condition. By where you put your money, you can change your heart condition. That's pretty impressive, but it also says something about us. So we, when it comes to tithing or doing right, we do what God says first. When we sit back and we say, oh God, I just don't have the money this month, I just don't have the money this month, and our finances keep spiraling out of control, guess what? God says in Malachi 3, test me in this and see if your, you know, storehouses won't be overflowing and you'll have so much blessing you won't know what to do with it. But that requires us to step out first and tithe and trust him. And God's almost bragging. He's going, try me. Just give me a shot and watch what I do. And so many of us won't take that challenge. We'll hang on to our money like it's super glued to our hands. We've always got an excuse. You know, God loves a cheerful giver and all that kind of stuff. But I've actually heard people say, well, I can't really give because my heart's not in the right place. And God wants a cheerful giver, and I just wouldn't be cheerful about giving there. Well, that other verse that says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You start pouring your money into the church, and guess what? Your heart just might follow. And so we need to change our actions if we can't change our heart. We need to do the right thing, again, no matter what the cost. That's integrity, and that's pretty much where I'll leave it. We'll cut to a quick break, and then we'll get down to financial chatter.
True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street in Spokane, Washington, at the Clock Tower Building. Visit our website at coinsplus.com. You can call us locally in Spokane at 444-0044 or toll-free at 877-827-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. And now, back to True Wealth.
Now, this week, I assume those of you who have a strong stomach may have watched President Obama's State of the Union speech. Probably not a very good assumption. I'll assume the majority of you didn't watch the State of the Union speech because your stomach's not strong enough. But I did, and I will tell you folks, I don't even know where to begin. I could be very negative and very condescending, and I think that would be accurate. I will just say that the level of arrogance and hypocrisy and disdain for the American people and the American way, the Constitution, is unfathomable. What blows my mind, at one point, he, you know, more than one point, he kept stating that he's willing to go around Congress if they won't do what he wants to do. And by the way, Congress is supposed to represent the people, folks, not the president, okay? And the president's popularity's down, way down. polling on what he wants to do is way down. He's basically saying he doesn't care what the American public wants. He knows what's best. And Obama is as close to our first dictator as I can imagine. He's a dictator in heart and spirit. Luckily, what's left of our system is preventing him from basically becoming a dictator. In a nutshell, of course, he's, you know, he pushed on the point that he wants to cut tax loopholes for corporations, so he wants more money into the government. He wants more checks on gun buyers. He wants to outlaw more certain kinds of weapons of war and magazines carrying large amounts of ammunition, so law enforcement agents aren't outgunned. He, you know, proposed, you know, all this stuff to save all these shootings that are happening. And we all know that the more we take away people's right to bear arms, the worse things get. The highest murder rates in the nation are in the areas where it's illegal to carry a self-defense weapon. He cried his same mantra. They started the whole thing. One thing he does want to do is get kids into pre-kindergarten at 4 years old so that they can start the brainwashing even earlier. They need the brains of these kids before they're even out of diapers. They want to start putting their propaganda in their mind. And he basically says he wants full day pre-kindergarten for four-year-olds, okay? Minimum wage. Now, this is something I'm going to disagree with the conservatives on. I don't get it. Yeah, I understand the argument that raising minimum wage is the government not allowing free market to work. Well, here is the problem with that. The problem is there's very little of free market left out there. I mean, there's so many regulations on employees and businesses, etc. The government's already involved. And, you know, we all know about unions. They've done a lot. They control a lot. They're, you know, reckless in every way. They create a crisis so they can solve it, etc. My attitude on minimum wage is this. If someone's willing to work and do a good job, they should be able to make enough to get by. You know, they're talking about a minimum wage of whatever, $9 or $10. I think the minimum wage ought to be about $12 or $13. I understand people saying, oh, it's going to run businesses down, it's going to do all this. I don't completely buy it, and I'm sorry that I'm maybe not on the right page there. I guess my attitude is this. The government doesn't keep its fingers out of anything. It's in the middle of everything. And people who are crying out for free market, you know, that'd be great, but there's how much of it really exists anymore. But here's the deal. If you raise people's wages, number one, it's only going to affect, I think, like 1.3% of workers in the U.S. But if you raise those wages, those are the wages of people who live paycheck to paycheck. So every single penny they make will immediately go right back into the economy. Another benefit of that is it will reduce what's called the earned income credit. And that's where people, you know, don't make enough to live and the government gives them back tax money they never paid. And I know there's a certain threshold where you can get as much as like $6,500 back and having paid nothing in. You have to be married with kids and so on. My first job out of college in 1990, I was making $16,000 a year. And I'm telling you what, we had student loans and everything else. I couldn't, you know, life was brutal. My wife was sick and bedridden with rheumatoid arthritis. I had two little kids. I had a $100 Buick that I was driving around. And when year end came around, guess what? I owed taxes and I didn't have the money. And that was the first credit card I took out. I took out $1,500 to pay taxes. And a lady one time, my wife said that a gal had come around. We lived in basically poverty housing. Everybody around us was on welfare. And apparently during the day, some gal had come around knocking on doors and talked to my wife and told her that we qualified for welfare and food stamps. And she presented that to me and I said, no, I'm not willing to take that. I'm not going to take that. If I can't trust God and work myself out of this, then I don't want it. And, you know, in time, that hard work paid off and was rewarded, etc. But the bottom line is, I mean, it was a tough long haul, but it was also the American dream per se. And I'm thinking that if people want to work and do a good job, they should make enough to get by. There should be a little bit of tax protection for people down at that bracket. I think the best tax protection, which will never happen, would be a flat tax where everybody pays the same rate no matter what. But I'll just leave it at that. I really think that if minimum wage won't hurt anybody, it'll actually reduce the welfare rosters, and it'll help people get by and make a living. I mean, what's so bad about that? Now, you know, yes, it's the government sticking its nose in business, but they're already doing it all over the place. So my attitude is if they're going to be doing it and they're already doing it, they might as well do something like that that's actually constructive and helps people rather than all the other stuff they're doing out there. And, of course, Obama brought up immigration. He wants to make every illegal immigrant a U.S. citizen. And, of course, he says he wants to strengthen the border more, which is a crock of duty. He just has to throw that in there to sound like he's compromising. He wants everyone, you know, it's all the same stuff, folks. The bottom line is he attacked climate change. He said climate change is a fact, and anyone who doesn't believe in it's a nutcase. Well, no one doesn't believe in climate change. Obviously, climate changes all the time, okay? But that doesn't have anything to do with it. It's whether or not it's man-made. And there's a lot of people that'll say, well, we don't know if it's man-made or not, so it doesn't matter. And even if it is, they'll say, well, it's only so minuscule that we can't do anything about it. But the truth of the matter is, climate's been changing for 6,000 years. We all agree, scientists all agree, there was an ice age 6,000 to 10,000 years ago. And ice basically covered the Earth pretty much almost to the equator. And there's arguments about whether there was polar shifts, etc. There's evidence of tropics everywhere on Earth at one time in the past as well. This ice age came on fast. I think it was a post-flood phenomena. There's frozen palm trees, upright palm trees that are still green under Antarctica. So we know that there's been serious climate change in the past. You know, we know dinosaurs got killed off rapidly. We don't know if they were here before us or what. But the debate is not whether or not climate change is real. He wants to spin it around like that, which is intellectual dishonesty. The question is whether or not it's man-made and whether we can do anything about it. No, we can't do anything about it. No, it's not man-made. The polar ice caps have been melting for millennia. Things are warming up gradually over time. But they blame every single storm on climate change, which is ridiculous. I mean, there's been harsh storms from the beginning of time. It's the state of the fallen earth we live in. Christ does tell us that near the end times there's going to be a lot more earthquakes, and I think the frequency of earthquakes on Earth now are rapid, but at the same time, we're in a world where we get information on what's going on around the entire globe within seconds. Back when he made that statement, that wasn't the case at all. They didn't have a clue about a majority part of the globe. So right there alone fulfills that prophecy. And he, of course, went after the supposed war on women by the Republicans, which, you know, no one wants women to be oppressed. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But he acts like it's one of their policies to oppress and abuse and mistreat women. And it's really sad because the truth of the matter is the conservative is typically very biblical in his thinking. They respect women. They lift women up. You know, I raise my son to, you know, treat a woman with exceptional respect. You open doors. You treat her good. You talk to her differently. You give them opportunities. You give them, you know, you bless them. You love them. You care for them. All kinds of positive things. And you've got the liberals constantly entwined in one sex scandal after another. And, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's, for some reason, it's okay and it's easily forgiven. And we're not shocked that the media does what they do. But the most concerning aspects of all was when Obama stated on a number of occasions that basically if he doesn't get his way, that he is going to issue executive orders to jam through, you know, basically he listed off violations of our constitutional rights. Gun ownership, free market, where he says on one hand, America is a great place, the American dream still exists, which is a new statement from him, and his wife said clearly it does not, it's dead. But he goes from this to describe basically all these things wrong with America and how the whole world needs Obama to protect him because everybody wants to hurt him and take advantage of him. And he wants to act like there's this continuous conspiracy against minorities and the working class by this evil elite class of rich. And he uses this zero-sum thinking, folks. And this is where it all breaks apart. Socialism's bad, etc. But the zero-sum thinking, that if one guy has it, another guy doesn't, is the most deceptive philosophy on earth. Wealth is created. Unless somebody actually steals it from you, then they're a criminal. But we can create wealth. There is enough to continue to increase so everybody can get wealthy and do well. If America would just let things go and have a 10% flat tax across the board and just let people reign, we would rock the house. If you look at the history of Israel, you'll see this for yourself. When they were left unbridled, the wealth was overflowing in that country. Interesting, they're one of the nations that have truly operated with one of the most free markets in history, time and time again, and they are good at it because it's a biblical principle, and they've introduced it and perfected it. And then Obama has to get, as you know, equal pay for equal work. I'm not even going to touch on this. This is so stupid. I mean, I honestly don't know anyone, and I know a lot of business owners, and I myself, nor anyone I know, tries to discriminate against women in pay any way whatsoever. That fallacy is not rooted on anything of fact. And I'm telling you, he has to use the wolf at the door for everything. He looked down at Congress and said, well, he begged Congress, I guess, to give the unemployed a fair shot, as if we're currently doing nothing for the unemployed. Right now, unemployment benefits last short about 2 years, two full years, 99 weeks. What is a fair shot? 199 weeks? 2,000 weeks? I mean, what's a fair shot? The reason why they're unemployed is because Obama's policies are crippling businesses and destroying the country. We all know that we're in dire straits, but to listen to Obama, he didn't discuss any of the IRS scandals. He didn't touch on Benghazi, none of the stuff. And to listen to him talk, you'd think everything was up and up and up, and it's all great on one hand, and then on the other hand, everything's horrible, and we got to throw more money at the government, and the rich aren't paying their fair share, and you've heard it all before, folks. The good news is this. I seriously think all this stuff is coming to an end. It's winding down. The American public is fed up. They're ready for something different. The medals, I was just reading from a Washington White House insider that with all the medals moving to Asia, the European and American banks are losing their ability to continue manipulating the medals. And the breakout, according to this guy who's been right for decades, is just around the corner. Our debt and deficit have got a noose around our neck that cannot be removed. And as I've said time and again, at least we know the truth and we know what to do. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. God bless. We'll be back in the next half hour.
Thank you for listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus, located in Spokane, Washington, at 3201 North Division Street in the Clock Tower Building. Visit our website at coinsplus.com. You can call us locally in Spokane at 444-0044 or toll-free at 877-827-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. And remember to join us every week for True Wealth.